Go ahead and grab your Bibles. Man, worship was awesome today, amen? Here's the good news, though. It's not over. We're just moving into a different phase of worship at this time, right? We worship Him through music, but now we're going to open the very Word of God and continue to worship Him through Scripture. And so turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 13 is where we'll be today. Acts chapter 13. Today is Vision Sunday. Today is Vision Sunday. So mark this on your calendar as a day when we began to march forward even further where God has been leading us, right? This is just one more step in the journey that God is taking us on as Eastwood Baptist Church. So Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 5. And if you don't mind, in honor of the reading of God's Word, would you stand with me this morning? God's holy, inerrant, sufficient Word says this. Verse 1, Acts 13, 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray right now that you would open our eyes, God, to your word. Father, we're going to talk a lot about vision today, but God, along with that vision, God, we're going to talk about our faith. God, we want your vision, but in your vision, God, calls us to step out in faith. So we pray that just through the preaching of your word today, that you would confirm that in our hearts. God, I pray if there's one here who is yet to turn from sin and self and believe on Christ, we pray that just through the preaching of the word today and through the witness of the gathered body here today, that they would see that Jesus Christ is God's plan, is God's vision for reaching the world, for saving the world. And that includes every single person in here who will turn from sin and self and believe on Jesus. God, today we pray they would be saved. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters over at the East Campus. Father, we are one church with two locations. And so here in just a few moments, the 11 o'clock service will be starting. The 9:30 service has already happened over there, God. And so we pray that the Spirit would be strong over there and that it would be strong here. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. All right. You've got your Bible in your hands, hopefully. I hope you always bring your copy of God's Word. But I want you to take it for just a moment. I want you to hold it up high. This isn't going to be what you see on TV. Don't worry. I'm not going to quote anybody here. Take it up and hold it high. Here's my question to you. What do you hold in your hands? The very Word of God. And who is the hero of what you hold in your hands? Jesus Christ is. Put that down. Guys, here's the thing I want you to see. Is that from beginning to end, God in Jesus Christ is the hero from cover to cover. God is the mighty one. God is the gracious one. God is the glorious one. He's the one who saves the day. He's the one who has the plan for humanity and how he wants history to come about. He's the one who has the vision, and he's the one who ultimately brings that vision to pass. But here's the amazing thing. Although it's God's plan, although it's God's vision all along the way throughout history and continuing to this day, he has chosen to use humanity to accomplish his vision. Think about the Old Testament. There was Adam, and then Noah, and then Moses, and then David, and we could go on and on with so many more. And then we know that around 2,000 years ago, God, the very Son of God, God himself, took on flesh and dwelt among us, right? Deity combined with humanity. God enters into history as Jesus Christ. And for 33 years, Jesus was on the earth with us. But even in those moments, even in the Old Testament days, even in the days of Christ, and even post New Testament times, God still continues to use humanity to accomplish his plan. In fact, think about the last 3 years of Jesus' life. What did he do? He was preparing a group of men to carry on once he was dead, buried, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. Right? He chose 12 men to be part of his inner disciples, the apostles, Peter, Andrew, James Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot. 12 men. God had a vision, but he is gathering men to accomplish his vision. Of course, Judas betrayed Jesus. He later killed himself. And what did God do? He replaced Judas in his own time with the 12th apostle, who we know as Paul. God has always used humanity to accomplish his vision, his mission. And I declare to you this morning that things have not changed. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he has used humanity all throughout history to bring about his vision, he is still doing that today in an unbroken line that stretches across thousands of years and uncountable miles from Middle Eastern locations that you read about in the Word of God, all the way to right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. God is still calling out people. He's still using people to come alongside his vision and accomplish it in his name. Amen? That is what we're here about. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Let me be clear. God doesn't need us to accomplish his vision, right? He could do it himself. He could do it in so many different ways. But his ways are not our ways. I mean, we look at it and say, God, we think you'd probably just do a better job with it. You know? You ever feel like that? I mean, God, if you really wanted to do it, get it done. If you want something done right, do it yourself. But there's no glory in that for God. Not as much glory. There's glory, but God wants to maximize his glory. And so what does he do? He calls humanity to come and to work and to move to bring about his mission. You and I get the privilege and opportunity of being a part of his awesome plan. And in faith, we come alongside him, right? To do great things for his glory. It's his vision, but it's our faith that catapults us, that pushes us into working to accomplish his vision to save the world. Church, that's why we've chosen his vision, our faith, as the theme for our capital campaign here at Eastwood Baptist Church. And I have full faith that God will accomplish his vision through us. Amen? God is faithful. This campaign is nothing more than the answer to the specific vision that God has given Eastwood Baptist Church. It's nothing more than the answer. It's the outcropping. It's the response to the vision that God has given us. God has given Eastwood, and particularly South Campus, the vision of reaching South Warren County. 8 years ago, that wasn't the vision. 8 years ago, the vision was to build a bigger building out on 500 Eastwood Street. A big old three-story building. They even made plans and had things drawn up, and they had it priced out, and it was going to cost over $7 million to do that. And they're like, whoa. They even began a campaign to raise money for that project. They ended up raising over $2 million for that. But then God began to close door after door on that idea. The leadership of Eastwood, they just couldn't get past. They just couldn't find a way to get that high cost down. And increasingly, they became convinced that to go forward with that project would not be a good stewardship of God's money. And so God began stirring in the hearts of the people of Eastwood. And here's the amazing thing. God wasn't just stirring in the hearts of the people of Eastwood. He was stirring in the hearts of people outside of Eastwood, namely me. In 2007 and 2008, as I've shared with you before, I was in a truck driving around the roads of Plano and the roads of Alverton, dreaming about planting a church in Plano and Alverton. Christy and I at that time were beginning to work with the Kentucky Baptist Convention to explore being a part of their high-impact church planting program. And we said, if we ever plant a church, it's going to be in Alverton or Plano there in Bowling Green. But God had different plans. He had different timing. And so he took me to Tennessee, but he left an imprint on my heart for Alverton and Plano. But God was also working in the heart of Jeff Crabtree. Jeff Crabtree, our former director of missions here at the Warren Association of Baptists, began to stir in his heart. God began to stir in his heart. And so he got with Pastor Tom, our senior pastor, and he asked him to begin to pray about doing a work in the Plano area. Jeff took Tom to a map. And he said, I want you to look at this map. He had a pin pushed in where there were every Southern Baptist church in Alverton and Plano. Guess how many pins were stuck in that map? Two? Three. There were three pins stuck in Alverton and Plano. Plano Baptist, Greenwood Baptist, and Bethany Baptist. Now let me ask you this. How many homes are in Alverton, Plano, and the Three Springs corridor? Over 6,000 homes. Three churches trying to reach 6,000 homes. Let's just say that there are just three people. Let's say they average three people in every home. If it's the Bergaminis or the Simpsons, I mean, we're above average, right, in that category. But let's just say there are just three in every household. How many people is that? 18,000 people right here in this field. And only three churches. There's just not enough churches. And when you take into account that like 5,000 of those 18,000 people are under the age of 14 years old. And when we couple that with the fact that we know that if someone's going to be reached for Christ, it's usually in their childhood and teenage years. You see the pressing mission that's laid before us here, right? The harvest is white and ready, but the workers are few. Three churches was just not enough. And so God began to close doors and began to open doors. To come and to do exactly what's going on here, it became apparent to the leadership of Eastwood. We have to do a work in the south end of Warren County, in the Plano area. It was God's vision, but it required faith, didn't it? It required faith. And so what did the people of Eastwood do? They stepped out in faith, amen? They stepped out in faith. They began praying for 100 people to step out, to be sent out from the East Campus over there, the original campus on Eastwood Street. 100 people to go out and to begin what they were calling then the Plano Campus. And 95 people stepped out in faith and came over here. And God gave us favor. He gave us favor with the Warren County Schools. I mean, to provide a place right here at Plano Elementary School to meet. That amazes me. They've let us be here for nearly 4 years. God has given us favor. I was still in Tennessee then, but Easter 2011, the South Campus or the Plano Campus was launched right here where we're now gathered. Pastor Tom preached at both the East Campus and the South Campus, and Brother Lonnie Atwood served as the South Campus pastor. God was moving. God was working. A land acquisition team was put together, and they began to work to find a location in Plano to build a building. But again, the team looked and negotiated on 13 properties and just nothing worked out. But let me remind you, whose vision is it? God's vision, right? We thought it was Plano, but God kept closing doors. God had other plans. He finally led us to a 13-acre tract of land, Scottsville Road, there in Alverton. And so what did Eastwood do? It stepped out in faith. It bought it. It stepped out in faith and began drafting plans for it. Eastwood stepped out in faith last April in calling me to be the South Campus pastor and to take over the preaching responsibilities. 7 years later, after I was driving around here, God finally got me to Plano and Alverton in a church work here. And then in June, Eastwood stepped out in faith and broke ground on our Alverton site. It was to be a $4 million project. We already had $2 million. And so in faith, again, we stepped out and borrowed the other $2 million to finish the project. And so time and time again, his vision, God's vision, has called us to step out in faith. And in doing so, He's doing it again, right? He's doing it again. As we near the launch of our South Campus building, and as our capital campaign begins to kick off to pay off that $2 million debt, it's His vision, but as always, it's going to require our faith. It's going to require our faith. And so, church, this morning, if our faith is going to accomplish His vision, Eastwood must be three things. I want to share this with you this morning. Three things. First, Eastwood must be a strong church. Eastwood must be a strong church. Now, I want to point you back to our text this morning, Acts 13, particularly verse 1. Look at verse 1. Notice what it says. It says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." So which church is being talked about here? It's the church at where? Antioch, the Antioch church, right? The Antioch church. Do you know what's special about the church at Antioch? Go back two chapters to Acts chapter 11, verse 26. I don't even have to turn in my Bible. It's on the same page almost. It's the page over. Look what it says. "And when he," that's Barnabas, "had found him," that's Saul, who later changed his name to Paul. And so when Barnabas had found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. For a year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called what, church? Christians. Christians. Now, you know what? They didn't call themselves that. That's what the people around them, the pagans around them, called them. And I bet they meant it to be like a put down, a term of derision. Oh, those little Christs. Oh, those followers of Christ. But the name stuck. The name stuck with them. But here's what that tells me. Here's what that tells me. It tells me that their faith led people to notice that they were different from the rest of the world. Right? They stood out. They weren't like everybody else. They needed a new label, and they were so closely following Jesus Christ that the only label that fit had the name of Christ in it. That tells me that they were a strong church. A strong church. You see, a strong church is one that is closely tied to Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our sustainer. He's our joy. He's our bridegroom. He's our head, hope. He's our heart's desire. And a strong church is one that never leaves Jesus out. A strong church never pushes Jesus out. His vision is our vision. And His mission is our mission. I pray that when people look at Eastwood Baptist Church, they see followers of Jesus Christ. I tell you right now, if we lose sight of Him, we will never accomplish His vision. We will never accomplish His vision. And so the closer we are to Christ, the stronger we will be. The more we fix our eyes on Jesus, the mightier we will be. If we're going to work towards God's vision, then Eastwood must be a strong church. And a strong church is one that is closely connected to Christ, intimately connected to Christ. But secondly, this morning, Eastwood must be a sending church. Eastwood must be a sending church. Look at verse 2 and 3 in your text. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. Notice what it says. It says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." You see, church, in order to accomplish God's vision, we've got to be a sending people. We got to send people out to do it. God's vision is never accomplished in a huddle, is it? It's got to be sent out. God's vision is worldwide. It's not just 500 Eastwood Street. It's all of Warren County. It's Allen County. It's Kentucky. It's the U.S. It's the world. I'm so thankful that back in 2011, that Eastwood realized this. It would have been easier to have just stayed over there. Especially those of you who are on the setup crew, right? It would have been a lot easier. Your back would have lasted a lot longer, okay? If you would have just stayed over on Eastwood Street. It would have been cheaper financially. It would have been more comfortable. It would have been a lot of things, but it would not have been working toward God's vision. I want to go where God's going, amen? I want to go where God's going. Just imagine for a moment if Paul or Barnabas would have said, I'm good right here, thanks, you know? Or what about this? What if the church at Antioch had said, send out Barnabas and Paul? No way, man, we need them here. Send out somebody else. We've got to have them right here. And they began to hoard their best teachers, their best resources. History would be much different, wouldn't it? It would have been much different. God's vision is always accomplished by sending out. And this truth is best illustrated in the person and work of Jesus Christ, right? God sent his Son from heaven to earth, that he might live and die and be risen again for us. But it's reiterated time and time again throughout history. And the proof stands before you right now that to be on God's mission, to be a part of God's vision, is to be a sending people. The South Campus has been sent out from the East Campus. That's how God's vision gets accomplished. And praise be to God that Eastwood, from its very inception, has understood this. I want to share just a few pictures with you this morning. The first picture, here's what 500 Eastwood Street looked like before it was 500 Eastwood Street. And I know it's a little bit fuzzy, maybe not the best picture, but that's a horse track right where the church building now stands. God had greater plans. God had greater plans for that piece of property. And so the people who would become known as Eastwood Baptist Church, they purchased a small house on 517 Nutwood. They began meeting there in the hopes of planting a new church. The year was 1953. They were sent out from First Baptist Bowling Green. It was a Sunday school class that said, we want to go start a new church. These were mainly World War II veterans and their families. And they went out and they bought this home to have church services in. And they soon called their first pastor, Pastor Bill Rogers. Pastor Bill is still alive. He's 90 years old. He lives in Louisville. And just a couple years ago at the 60th anniversary of Eastwood, he was able to be here. In fact, all eight pastors, Eastwood has had eight senior pastors in its life, and all eight pastors shared the platform that day. That's a sign of strength as well. Because a lot of times when a pastor leaves, either he doesn't want to come back or they don't want him to come back. But praise God, all eight felt that they could and wanted to come back. How did they accomplish the vision that God had given them? Well, they got school buses. And they began to have Sunday school in school buses. Can anybody say praise God that he went a different direction this time as far as how we accomplished that vision? Could you imagine? Oh my goodness. Winter would have been tough, boys. I'm telling you. That would have been rough. May 7th, 1954, they broke ground on the first building. September 26th, 1954, they worshiped in it for the first time. And then the next year, guess what they did? This new church sent out a group to go start another church, Glendale Baptist. And 3 years later, guess what they did again? They sent out another group to go start what became known as Hillview Heights Baptist Church. Eastwood continued to grow until it needed larger worship space, and so they built the present East Campus Sanctuary, and they worshiped in it the first time, Easter 1988. And skip ahead another decade until Easter 2011. What did Eastwood do again? It sent out another group of people. This time to not start a brand new church, but to start a second campus under the name of Eastwood. And you can see that picture there. It's a little bit fuzzy, but you can see the people here. And so many of those folks are here. And we're so thankful for those of you, including me, who have come along later to be a part of this work. We first set up over in the cafeteria. But then we moved over to the sanctuary right here in the gymnasium. You can see a couple pictures of that. One more over. One more over. There we go. But the Lord began to move. He began to save people. We've had the blast, you know, baptizing people in the creek at Romanza Johnson State Park. If you were baptized in the creek at Romanza Johnson State Park, would you stand up? Anybody here? Would you stand up? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And we know that there are more than that even who have been baptized through the ministry of South Campus at Romanza Johnson State Park. I had the opportunity to do it back in the summer, and it's cold. It is cold. But in 2013, God gave us a great piece of land. High visibility, highly accessible. Eastwood, think about this, had been thinking Plano. But you know what God said? God said, no, I'm going to give you Plano, but I'm also going to give you Alverton. And then check this out, y'all. I'm going to give y'all West Allen County too, because think about this. Where our church building is, we are 3 miles from the Allen County line. I mapped it just the other day for some promotional stuff that we'll be mailing out to our communities. We are 15 minutes from Allen County Scottsville High School. 15 minutes. And it's like a 4-lane highway. It's so easy to get there from there, okay? And so God has given us a perfect place. Not only are we 15 from Allen County Scottsville High School, but we are only 9 minutes from Greenwood High School. And so praise God that his vision doesn't stop at school district boundaries. Praise God that his vision doesn't stop at county lines. He's a God who is for the entire world. And so June 25th of last year, we broke ground on the building. And you see a couple pictures from that. Here's a building in mid-August. Here's the building in late August. Here's the building in September. Here's the building in October, early October. Here's late October. Here's November. Here's December. Here's the building in January. And here's the building last Monday, February 2nd. Church, because Eastwood desires to closely follow Jesus Christ, it has always been a sending church. Let's take a quick tour of the building. Let's take a quick tour. Here's the carport to go into the opening to the building. Here's our welcome center. Here's our third space, which is the fellowship space between our multipurpose building and our education building. Here's our cafe. Here's the corner. This is where resource corner. That guy looked like he was in the corner, didn't it? Here is the fireside platform. And here's the actual fireplace at the fireside. Here's the entrance to our children's and preschool area. Here's our children's and preschool security desk. Here's some education space. Here's some more education space. How about a little more education space? Let's go to the multipurpose room. Our multipurpose room is going to serve 3 functions. Sanctuary, fellowship hall, and gymnasium. Here's our sound booth. Here's a bathroom. Hey, listen. You know, I know how important they are, okay? And they're getting built. Here's future secretary office. Here's my office. Here's Pastor Mark's office. Here's storage. Here's a future kitchen. And I wish I had a picture. You heard me testify about how I feel about heights. I wish I had a picture of the second story over the education building that is completely dried in. Windows, everything, it's ready to go. When God fills us up downstairs, we are ready to build upstairs. We already have a second story in place. Why am I showing you all this? Here's my point with this. South Campus exists because Eastwood is a sending church. God is a sending God. And if we're to continue toward accomplishing God's vision, we must continue to be a sending church. Who knows who or how God is going to send someone out from South Campus someday to start another work in Warren County or in Allen County? If we're going to follow Jesus, we must send out Christians to reach people for Christ and to start new works. So to accomplish God's vision, Eastwood must be a strong church. It must be a sending church. But finally, Eastwood must be a sacrificing church. It must be a sacrificing church. The Antioch church certainly sacrificed, didn't it? I mean, Paul, the greatest teacher maybe in the history of Christendom, next to Jesus Christ. And they sent him out. So they sacrificed. But we read here in verse 4 and 5 that Paul and Barnabas, they sacrificed as well. Look at Acts 13, verse 4 and 5. It says, "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, Paul and Barnabas went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them." What did they do? They put their hand to the plow. They got busy working. And one of the temptations that you and I might face is that as we come to finishing strong here at Plano Elementary and launching strong out there in Alverton, that the temptation might come to think, our work is almost over. But I'm telling you right now, it's just beginning. God is going to call you and me to sacrifice in new ways. You've already been sacrificing. He's just going to call you to sacrifice in new ways, in different ways, even maybe in greater ways. It's only beginning. And so I want to challenge every single one of you to find a place of service at South Campus. Here in just a few moments, we're going to go over and have lunch, and we're going to talk about all sorts of things about the building, but we're also going to talk about ministry opportunities. And I want you to be ready. Do I have any youth in this service here? If so, middle schoolers, high schoolers, say, "That's right." Or just be real quiet. Okay, how about that? I want to challenge the middle schoolers and high schoolers for a moment. Think about this for a moment. Is there any church on the southeast side of Warren County, in West Allen County, that has a strong and vibrant youth ministry that is reaching the community? I look and I don't see one. So what does that mean? That means that you, youth, you students, whatever word you want to use for that, you have an opportunity to build something amazing. You get to have a part in growing what is already something good and making it great that could expand impact. What does that mean? That means that every single one of you, I want to challenge you to look at the youth ministry as a missions opportunity. A missions opportunity. How are you going to work to grow it? Yes, you'll be blessed, but I want to challenge you to make your youth ministry a blessing to others. It's going to take you. It's going to take you. It's going to take you getting behind Pastor Michael. It's going to take you getting behind Jennifer and Ian and Danielle and let them help you build a strong, vibrant youth ministry at the South Campus. And it's going to take every single one of you to do it. It's going to take youth parents to do it. And youth ministry is one of those things. I go visit people and they say, "We would love to come to South Campus, but there's really no youth ministry there." And we say, "Yeah, there is. We've got to grow that ministry. And we need you guys to grow it, youth and youth parents." And then for all of us, it's going to take a financial sacrifice. It is. I told you we borrowed $2 million to build our building, but there are needs also that need to be addressed at the East Campus, particularly in the children and preschool areas. And so let me put forward to you our capital campaign goal. It's $3 million. Now, when I say that, that sounds like a lot because I know what I can do. And when you think about what you can do On your own, that sounds like a lot. But let me ask you this. When the people of God comes together and when God himself gets involved, what can he not accomplish that he's not envisioned? Amen? If he set the vision, he will be faithful to resource us to finish out that vision. And so we, particularly here at South Campus, we have to be, especially at South Campus, sacrificial. Because the fact of the matter is that we are primarily the ones who are reaping the benefits of what God has done through the South Campus, right? We get the primary benefit of that building and the ministry surrounding it. So Eastwood must be a sacrificing church. South Campus must be a sacrificing campus. And hear me clearly, though. It's not about the building. It's not about the money. It's about the mission of God, the vision of God to reach South Warren County and West Allen County and to the ends of the earth. This is just part of the strategy to accomplish the vision that God has given us. And so Eastwood, hear me clearly, God has laid out his vision. Here's the question for every one of us. Will we meet his vision through our faith? I want to close this morning with one passage of scripture from Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. Let me remind you of who our God is. Here's what it says. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him, that's God, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That is God's mission, vision, and that's how our faith comes into it. Let me just add this. I talked for a moment about us being a sacrificing church. You're simply being a follower of Jesus Christ when you sacrifice, because he has sacrificed greatly, right? He lived and died that every one of us could be forgiven of our sins and have life everlasting. And so as I've talked about his vision, I pray this morning, if you're not yet a follower of Christ, I pray this morning that you would see your need for a Savior, that you would see Christ as that Savior, and then run to him. He desires this morning that his sacrifice would bear fruit in your life through repentance and faith in him. And so we're going to move into a time of invitation this morning. As always, my instructions to you are very simple. Be obedient to God. If you feel the Lord leading you to come forward and pray and kneel and pray at these prayer chairs, that's what they're here for. Come forward, get on your face, ask God, pray for Eastwood, pray for you, pray for someone you know that needs Jesus. I'll be right here, ready to meet you. I would love to tell you more about how you can be a part of the kingdom of God. And let me also send out this challenge to you. If you're here and you're not yet a member of Eastwood Baptist Church, if what we've laid out to you is what you think a church should be, when I shared that vision, your heart resonated with that and the Holy Spirit maybe touched you and said, these are my people, then we invite you. I would love to begin a conversation with you this morning about how to become a member of Eastwood Baptist Church. God is awesome and he loves us greatly. He's mighty, yet he's also called us alongside him to do great things in his name. So we're going to go to a time of invitation. You just be obedient to God. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray. And then Pastor Mark's going to lead us. Father, move in our midst. Touch hearts and change lives, God, in ways that only you can. Father, we ask that you would help us to grab hold of your vision. Father, we want to see things how you see them, with your eyes. And Father, we'll work out the details in faith. You'll work out the details. Just help us to catch that vision. And we pray the Holy Spirit would come and fill us up with faith that we might go after that vision. Father, thank you for the people that you have sent out to come here to Eastwood South Campus. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would just move in the hearts of those that don't yet know Christ. I pray they would come forward. I would love to begin a conversation with them about how they can be saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Just move in our midst, Father, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.